It's Weekend Edition on Michigan Radio.
If we want to be healthy, we should eat healthy, although some grammarians disagree.
That's what they say. Good morning, I'm Rena Miller, and joining us now is University of Michigan English professor Ann Curzan. Hello, Ann.
Hello.
So what's this about? Healthy, healthful, there's a difference?
For some people, there's a difference. This came up last month when I was giving a talk down at the Smithsonian in Washington, D.C. about grammar pet peeves. And we had this lively two-hour conversation about pet peeves. People were very engaged. People were clapping and booing about particular items of usage. And in the Q&A, one woman raised her hand, and she said, "It's everywhere. It's on television. It's on radio. People keep saying, eat healthy food, and I can't stand it." And what was interesting was that suddenly the auditorium went silent. I thought, oh, right, there's that rule about healthful versus healthy. In the 19th century, grammarians tried to make these two words complementary, to say healthful should mean conducive to or causing health, and healthy should mean experiencing good health. The problem is that healthy has meant both of those things for hundreds of years, and the distinction has never really held. I asked this auditorium, does anybody else really care about this? And about 7 people out of 200 raised their hands. So I have to say, I think this rule has not made it.
Crickets.
Yeah. Crickets. But it had me thinking about another place where grammarians have tried to create a complementary distribution in the language, and that is between shall and will. In the first person, in other words, with I or we, you use shall to express the simple future. Then you use will to express obligation or necessity or determination, permission. Then in the second and third person, you, he, she, you would use will to express the simple future and shall to express permission, obligation, determination.
You know, none of that makes any sense. You're doing one thing, and then if you go to second or third, it reverses. What nonsense is this?
Well, that's a good question.
I thought so.
The rule itself goes back to the 17th century, a grammarian named John Wallace, and it has gotten picked up in many grammar guides. There is a question of how well this has ever corresponded to real usage. It seems to correspond more to British usage than to American and other world varieties of English. But even in British usage, it looks like it probably captures the way some people have spoken some of the time, but not the way everyone has spoken all of the time. One place where this shall-will distinction still remains is in legal writing, mm-hmm. with the idea that shall should be used to express obligation, legal obligation. And I know several attorneys, some of whom are related to me, who were trained on this in law school. I did a little digging, and it looks like this is even now controversial in legal writing. Brian Garner, who's one of the leading experts about style in legal writing, points out that this word shall is often misused, and he says we've got two options here. One is you always use shall to mean has a duty to. In other words, the company shall pay, and they're obliged to pay. He says the other is we just get rid of shall and always use must, because in some contracts shall is used to mean will, and in some places it's used to mean obligation. And his practice at this point is to always replace it with will or may or must in order to clarify.
I shall never remember any of this. Thank you, Anne.
Have a good Sunday.
You too.